Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we thank you today, and we raise our voices, we raise our faith towards heaven to receive revelation, revelation of your word, revelation of the faith of God, the love of God, the word of God, the life of God, the name of God. All of these things in the name of Jesus, sir, we are hungry for. And so we believe we receive it, and we give you all the praise and the honor, for greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Praise God. Welcome to the broadcast today. Last week, we're studying specifically on the spiritual force of faith. Faith is spiritual substance. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen," or the evidence of the thing that you can't see in the spirit. It is a spiritual force. Hallelujah. Powerful. Oh, my, my, my. It is the faith of God. So you can't study faith without going to Mark 11, 23 and 24 and 25 in the very classic teaching by Jesus on the subject of faith. So let's go there today. And let's look, beginning with the 22nd verse. Now, you remember what happened here. They were on the way from Bethany. They were going to Jerusalem, and Jesus saw this fig tree, and it was afar off. What is afar? Well, it wasn't so far that his disciples couldn't hear him, but it's far enough that he couldn't see that the tree didn't have any figs on it. So he spoke to it. Jesus answered and said to the tree, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem. He spent all day there in the temple. He was teaching, preaching in the temple until evening came. And when evening was come, they went out of the city in the morning as they passed by. So he spoke to the fig tree, went on to Jerusalem, spent all day there, evidently at least 12 hours there. That's my kind of preacher. Glory to God. Preach all day long. Whoo, man, wouldn't you love to be? Anyway, so that now they're going back to Bethany. They walk right back past that tree, but nobody mentioned it. And you know Peter as well as I do. I mean, if it had been any change in that tree at all, Peter would have said something about it. Now, then the next morning, they went from Bethany to Jerusalem, back to Bethany, and then on their way back to Jerusalem again, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, "Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away." Now, Jesus responded to Peter and to the rest of them concerning that tree, "Have faith in God." I remember some years ago, it struck me, I'm telling you, it struck me like spiritual lightning, that, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? Have faith in God. Oh, Lord, what about my finances? Have faith in God. What about my children? Have faith in God. Oh, what about, oh, God. I don't care what your old God is. Have faith in God. Amen. Have faith in God. The reference says there, have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea," and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. But when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Now, I want to point out something in this 23rd verse, because we're going to take up here pretty well where we left off. I'm going to, recover a few things and pick up where we were on the measure of faith. But now notice this. Whosoever. So this is spiritual law. It'll work for anybody that'll get in contact with that law. Amen. It doesn't make any difference whether you're young or old. It has no, that law is not partial to anybody or anything. It is a spiritual law. And we made notice of the fact last week that all of the laws of physics were created by spiritual laws. So the laws of the Spirit were first, and those laws created all matter, all physical things, all physical beings, everything that's perceptive to the touch of the flesh and so forth. All matter was those laws that govern the physical world were created by spiritual laws. And that's the reason physical things, particularly the more you find out about spiritual laws, you begin to understand why spiritual things mirror, physical things mirror spiritual things. That's the reason Jesus could take natural physical things and teach on spiritual things, because spiritual laws created physical things. They created the laws of physics. Amen. Now, so what's the problem? Not knowing the laws. I mean, that was a problem for thousands of years right here on the earth. Nobody knew the laws of physics. And little bit by little bit, they began to figure out, you know, this, when you do that, that happens. And, you know, the funny thing is it happens every time. And then they begin to... But did you ever notice that every time somebody discovered something in the realm of physics, everybody else thought they were crazy? That's not just a coincidence. No, the more you know, the more of God's thoughts you think, the more of God's knowledge you have, the worse off the devil is. And he'll fight you every step of the way trying to keep you out of things that will control his operation and control him personally. Amen. So, the same thing with spiritual laws. The more you find out about it, the more a lot of people don't like you anymore. But, you know, they know who to call when they need prayer. And that's good. That's good that they do that. All right, now. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. So it's a whosoever thing. We're dealing with the laws of the Spirit. And we read that from the book of Romans, that where it said very plainly, by what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. And then in Romans chapter 8, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And when you begin to realize that all fear, all sickness, all disease, all sin, all death, all the curse, all functions under the law of sin and death. Being born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongue, prayer, faith, love. Glory to God. I got excited right there. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience. gentleness, goodness, faith, and meekness and temperance, all of these, the fruit of the Spirit, is not under the law of sin and death. No, it's under the law of the Spirit of life. All healing is under the law of the Spirit of life. Sin is under the law of sin and death. So they both function by spiritual laws, and one is opposite from the other. For example, fear. Fear is faith in death, faith in the ability of things to hurt you, fear of animals, fear of people, fear of weather, fear of all these things are all based in the fear of death. You're not afraid of flying, you're afraid of dying. You know why? Because you got a lot of confidence in it. And people that speak it all the time, talk it all the time, believe in it, stand with it, stand firm in it, praise, yeah, boy, I'm telling you what, I ain't having nothing to do with that. I'm never going outside again. I'm just never going outside again. And just because, why? Because, hey, man, it's dangerous out there. You're liable to get killed out there. Yeah. So what? Oh, Brother Copeland, don't you know you're liable to die? No, not liable to die. You are going to die. Really? Yeah, really. You and the grass in your yard and your dog, your goldfish, you are going to die. And you should have known that and probably did by the time you was 4 or 5 years old. But when you know Jesus, woo, glory to God, the other side of that is stunning. Hallelujah. So the more you fix your mind on the heavenlies, the more you fix your mind on faith, love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, all of these, the fruit of the Spirit, you fix your mind on Jesus. You fix your mind on faith. You speak your words on faith, not fear. And you take your stand. The more that grows in you, the more it grows in you, death just starts shrinking up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I got out ahead of myself, but I enjoyed myself out there, so here we go. Now then, so this is a whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Now, what does that mean? That is not doubting in the inner man. We went through a number of different scriptures concerning that, that this outer man, this physical body, it's not talking about the physical heart. You couldn't believe God with your physical blood pump any more than you could your liver or your spleen or any other part of your physical body. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the inner man. See, this outer body can't live without the inner man. But the inner man can live without the physical body. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's believing in this inner man. Now, not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which he says, you notice what Jesus said to believe? Believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, a lot of people have the idea that, you know, if I could just get stronger in believing, if I could just get my faith up here and just believe long enough, this thing will come to pass. No. It won't. Not without the saying. Faith is born in the heart. Faith is born in the inner man. But it has to be spoken with the mouth for it to come to pass. Now, so he says, if he believes those things which he saith, which are words, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, we talked about this. Let's go over to Romans chapter 12. And in the third verse of Romans 12, I really wanted to bring up some things here that you will enjoy, and it'll feed your faith and it'll strengthen it. Romans 12, 3, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." That's not every man in the world. We proved that from the Scripture last week, because the Scripture said in 2 Thessalonians that every man does not have faith, and it talked about wicked, unreasonable man. If Jesus has not come into your heart, if you've not been born again, then you don't have the God kind of faith. You don't have the faith of God in you, because if you're not connected to God, how are you going to have His faith? So he's talking about every born again believer has been dealt the measure of faith. Well, how is it dealt? We found that out in the 10th chapter of Romans. Well, just slip back there. Just a couple of chapters in the 10th chapter, verse 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And then we found out in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "You're saved through grace by faith, which is not of yourself, it is the gift of God." So God gave it to you. It's His faith. When you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you heard, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so when you heard and you made that decision in your heart, "I'm accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." Glory to God. And the moment you believed it in your heart and you said it with your mouth, what happened? All right, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's see what happened. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the 17th verse, "If any man," that's any person, man or woman, "if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." A new creation. The sinner is not healed in his spirit. He's not forgiven in his spirit. He is dead. Dead? Oh, yeah. Died the death of the cross, recreated. Amen. Amplified Translation says, "a new species of being that never existed before that moment." Oh, glory to God. Now listen, are you tracking me here? Now listen to this. "Old things," not talking about old things of the body or old things of the mind, he's talking about old things in your spirit man, this inner man, "old things." The inner man's being, that old nature in there is gone. New creature. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Now, you remember the Apostle Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Amen. So everything in your inner man, everything in there has been reborn, and all of it's from God. For instance, that measure of faith that we saw right there, let's flip back over there. I want you to get your eyes on that again. In Romans chapter 12, where it says, "I say, to every man that is among you, think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, I want to pull these two verses together. Oh, I love this. I say to every new creature, every new creature, he has dealt the measure of faith. Doesn't that make your heart sing? Glory to God. Just lift both hands and say this. I am a new creature. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I have the measure of faith. Old things passed away, and all things in me became new. And all things are of God. And not only do I have the measure of faith, but the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. I not only have His faith, I have Him. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Now just, boy, I mean, now say it. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I have a measure of the same faith that brought the worlds into existence. I have a measure of the same faith that Jesus used when He when He'd been about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. I have the measure of His faith. I have a measure of the same faith, glory to God, that raised Him from the dead. It's in me. It's in me, glory to God. All I got to do now is just feed it and exercise it. It'll grow. Hallelujah. That means every child of God, ever born again believer, started out with exactly the same measure of faith, and it has either shrunk up or got bigger. That is no way it just stays the same. Spiritual things don't stay static because they're either moving forward or they're moving back. But we're moving forward. Glory to God. Say it again. I have it. I have the measure of the God kind of faith in Jesus' name. Let's go back to our scripture in Mark 11, 23, 24, and 25. Jesus saith unto them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart or in his inner man, but shall believe. Believe what, Brother Jesus? Believe that those things which you say shall come to pass. Then he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you. Now notice, he told them to say it. Now he's saying it. I say unto you that what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, the Son of the living God made that statement there, yeah, but it don't work for me. Well, now, come on. Now, don't be talking like that. Don't be saying that kind of thing. You've got to stand right up in Jesus' face and say, sir, you know, I all due respect, you lied about this because this don't work for me. That is so big. That is so serious in your own life. You just swung the door open for the devil to just run over you and everything you have. Amen. Because it's going to take the faith-filled love to cast him out, and you just said it doesn't work. Anyway, here we go. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespass. Now, Jesus just told us exactly how the faith of God works. Exactly. This is the way it works all the time, every time. This is the way it works. Then He told you the thing that will hinder, stop it, and cut it off in your life is not being forgiving. You study the rest of the Bible, there's tons in here that I don't know, but I've learned a little bit. And I've not been able to find anything else that Jesus talked about being a hindrance to your faith, except that right there, not being a forgiving heart. Amen. Now, we talked about Romans 12:3. Let's look at that once again. And for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt unto you and every other person that's born again the measure of faith. Every person that accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior got exactly the same measure of faith. And it's the faith of God. It is the faith of Jesus. It is His faith, and it works, but you have to work it His way because it's His faith. Amen. And He didn't put the laws of faith out there just to make it hard to handle. No, those are laws that govern it. That's the way it works. It's a powerful, creative, spiritual force, and it has governing laws about it, just like gravity has governing laws about gravity. And other physical laws and so forth. Same thing is true in the realm of the Spirit. Now then, I want us to go again to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man, of course, let me reiterate, when the Bible talks about man, look it up for yourself. Look up the word that was translated man. It's not talking about male gender. It's talking about mankind. In the Bible, women are called sons of God. There is this inner man, the spirit man, the real you, has no male or female gender. So, now notice this, again, any person, let's say it like that. If any person be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. All right, now let's go back over here to Romans chapter 5. And notice in the 5th verse, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So you not only have a measure of faith, but you've got the love of God. That's Him. That's Him Himself. Well, certainly you've got His faith in there because He's in there. Glory to God. Whoa, praise God. I mean, were you like me right then? Your lightning fast mind just grabbed hold of that? Yeah, amen. I'll tell you, it's more like your heart and your spirit and then grabbed hold of it, absolutely. Let's go over now to 1 John and let's look in 1 John chapter 4 and let's read with the 16th verse. Are you there? 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. Say it out loud. God is love. God doesn't have love. He is love. Glory to God. Say it again. God is love. God doesn't have love. He is love. Now, I want you to listen to me very, very carefully. We'll refer to this more this week, most likely. There's nothing, no thing, nothing, zero. There's nothing you can do to cause God to love you any less. Now, there's things you can do to hurt Him. There's things you can do to grieve Him. There's things you can do that cause Him a lot of trouble and a lot of heartache, but He still loves you. There's nothing you can do that would cause Him to love you anymore. He loves you with all He is, and He is love. I want you to spend some time meditating on that. The more that grows in you. You see, the Bible said God died for the ungodly. I mean, He loved us while we were no goods. I mean, we were worth nothing to Him, and He loved us with all of Himself. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, God is love. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect or matured or grown, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Well, of course not. There's no fear in God. Begin to renew your mind, and you'll have to practice this because we're not used to it. You have to practice. I mean, back when before I made Jesus the Lord of my life, and just a few months before I met Gloria, I made the stupid, demonic statement, I don't believe God is real. I don't believe love is real. If it is, I'm probably not capable of it because of the bitterness and the deep root of bitterness that was in my life. Of course, that's an ungodly statement. Don't believe God is real. Are you kidding me? God is love. You don't get any more real than that. But see, my sick mind was all full of torment because of some things we won't get into. But here's the thing I wanted you to see. The moment that I laid eyes on Gloria Jean Niece, just suddenly, I knew. I fell in love with her. I mean, I'd never loved anybody or anything in that same category, in that same way. I was just consumed with it immediately. And that, I mean, there went my stupid theory that love isn't real. And if it is, I'm not capable of it because, boy, I'm telling you, when the real thing come on the scene, whoa, it just consumed me. And then we got married 6 months later. And then 6 months after we got married, both of us accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. So you might say from the day I met her, 1 year from then, so you see what happened? That the Spirit of God began to lead me because love had come into my life. Anyway, that, and we might talk about that later, but I wanted you to get a hold of this fact, and you have to train yourself to think like this, and you have to do it on purpose. You have to say it and say it and say it. God is love. God is love. When you say love, you say God. When you say God, you say love. Oh, praise God. I just said praise love. Oh, praise the love. I just said praise God. You see what I'm saying? And as you practice that, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay. In the beginning, love created the heavens and the earth. See what I'm talking about? To renew your mind. This is a reason you ought not be talking about loving things. You know, it degrades the word love to love. The word love in the English language is a slang word, and it's a very bad slang word. Oh, didn't you love that pizza last night? No, I didn't love the pizza. I might have enjoyed it, but I didn't love it. And when you begin to correct yourself like that, you begin to get a higher revelation of God is love. God is love, and love is God, and we love His people, and we love His Word, and we love His, we love to be in His presence and so forth. But it isn't that I love my new shirt. No, I enjoy my new shirt. I like it, and I thank God who is love that got it for me. Praise God. Amen. And I love the partners that paid for it too. Praise God. I can tell you that. But you see, we've been so loose with it that we had absolutely no revelation of Himself being love at all. Zero. Now, but we're changing that, right? We have known. Now, that word known there in the Greek text is the same word that is used, and a man knew his wife. It means intimate relation. It means intimate contact. In some places, it's translated intercourse. It means very intimate relation, or as close as you can get. We have known and believed the love that God has to us. Now, when did you know the love of God? Well, of course, the moment you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I mean, you came in very intimate contact with the Father, who dropped the faith on the inside of you, His faith, His Word, His life, His goodness, His love, His everything came on the inside of you, and He just gave Himself to you. Oh, what a moment. And the more you stay in the Word, and particularly if you get in and begin to meditate on the love of God, who is love, who is God, who is love, who is God, who is love, who is God, and you begin to worship the Lord, and you begin to look, oh, this is the Word of love. Well, Brother Coleman, I thought it was a word of faith. It is, but it's the Word of God, who is love. Amen. And when little Mary said, be it done according to your word. Well, what is His word? That's the word of love. That word of love sown into little Mary's womb became the seed that gave Jesus, who is the Son of love, His very own body that He would sacrifice because of His love for you and me. My. Well, what is it? The word of love. What is it? The word of faith. What is it? The word of God. Is it a word of death? No, it's a word of life. Is it a word of depression? No, it's the word of joy. Is it the word of doubt? No, it's the word of faith. Glory to God. It's the word of love. Hallelujah. And love would never give you doubt. Love would never give you sickness. Love would never give you poverty. Love gave you Himself. Hallelujah. And He is our life. Glory to God in our deliverance. Now, so notice, we've known and believed the love. Now, born again Christian people, people that know Jesus, I mean, they know Him, and they believe in Him, and so forth. But now when it comes to believing the love, it's a little different thing. You ask 100% of us. I don't care where you find them. I don't care in what denomination. I don't care where you stop them on the street. Do you believe God loves you? Oh, yes, Brother Copeland. Oh, yes, of course. You know, God loves us. Oh, yes, He loves us. Really? I'm talking about believing the love. I'm talking about exercising faith in the love. I'm not talking about mentally agreeing that He loves us. I just don't understand.
Daddy, don't you care, Lord. I mean, let that happen to me. Don't you care.
Does that sound like you believe the love? No, you believed a lie.
Do you remember on his very own staff? He was asleep in the back of the boat. He said, go to the other side. They ran into a storm. They woke him up and said, don't you care? We're dying here.
They didn't believe the love. Let that soak in a little bit. Because everybody in this room and everybody out there watching has done this very same thing. Well, what do? You begin to feed that love and you begin to develop it. And the more you feed it and the more you say it and believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth, God loves me. So when you look at it again from Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Okay, but what about have faith in the love? Believe in that love. Have faith in it. I believe He loves me. I don't care how much it looks otherwise. I don't care what the devil's saying to me. I don't care what my mind is saying to me. I just said it, and I just said it, and I just said it, and it didn't come to pass. And I don't know why. It just looks to me like He can just do it. It just looks like He can just do it here. You're not talking love. No, you're talking doubt and unbelief, and you're accusing the Master Himself, the one who gave Himself to you, the one that said, believe you receive, and you shall have them. Don't start that. Yeah, but. I mean, that. Anyway, have faith in love. Now, go with me to the 13th. Tell me how much time we got. We got time to get this in. Yeah, just barely. Go with me to the Gospel of John. And you use faith with this just like you do everything else. Let's look in the 13th chapter of John. God loves me. I believe it in my heart, and I say it with my mouth, and I don't say anything else. God loves me. I said, God loves me. I have a measure of His faith, and I have Him who is love. Glory to God. And I know, and I believe it in my heart, and I say it with my mouth, Jesus loves Kenneth Copeland. He loves me. Amen. I said He loves me. Now, notice this in the 13th chapter of John, and let's look in the 23rd verse. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. I want you to notice John, who's called the Apostle of Love, John, who wrote 1 John, the most revealing book in the Bible about the fact that God is love and the functioning of His love, continued to call himself the disciple that Jesus loved. What's he doing? He's confessing that with his mouth. He heard Jesus teach on Mark 11:22 and 23 and 24 and 25. He believed it, and he used it, and he did it. Look in the 19th chapter. He did the same thing again in 19:26. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said to his mother, woman, behold thy son. Are you seeing it? One more here. In the 20th chapter and the 2nd verse, then in John chapter 20, then she runneth and come to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. John's talking about himself. And then in chapter 21, verse 7, and therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, you see what he's doing? In his writing, he keeps referring to that. He keeps talking to himself. He's, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Say it. Jesus loves me. Put your own name in there. Jesus loves Kenneth. I'm telling you, Jesus loves Kenneth. Jesus died for Kenneth. Jesus was raised from the dead for Kenneth because he loves him. Jesus gave Kenneth a measure of his faith because he loves him. Jesus healed him because he loved him. Praise God. Can you see it? I'll just do it all day long together. All day long together. You and your wife or you and your husband are watching this today or some good friend, just say it all day. Hey, girl, do you know Jesus loves you and he loves me? Oh, he loves me. You know what? I'm the disciple that he loves. No, I'm the disciple that he's loved. No, I am the disciple that he loved. Jesus loved me. Just walk around the room saying, God loves Kenneth. God loves Kenneth. And the devil will get where he doesn't bombard your brain anymore trying to, he don't care nothing about you. Your wife don't care nothing about you. Your dog got to where he don't hate you. I mean, he hates you. Well, just tell him if flat where he can go with that. You understand me? Father, we praise you today, and we worship you, and we give you honor and thanksgiving for this broadcast today. We open our hearts, we open our minds for revelation from heaven, and we give you all the honor and the praise for everything that's said and everything that's done on this broadcast today. There will be many, many, many people all over everywhere the sound of my voice is being heard today that will be healed miraculously. And there will be many that will have situations in their lives suddenly straightened out today. I heard you say that. And so we want to give you praise for it right now, sir, and give you much worship and honor and the glory to the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Just as I started praying, I heard the Lord say that. So praise God. Receive your healing. How do you do that? Well, we've been talking about it now all last week. And then this week also, Jesus said, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, that's when you start believing. How do you start believing? You believe it in your heart and you say it with your mouth, I believe I receive. I believe I receive. I believe I receive healing. Or better way is, I believe I receive my healing. And go through the Bible. All the healing scriptures belong to you. Every one of them belong to you. And you go there and look it up. For instance, under the curse of the law. Deuteronomy 28:22, fever, inflammation, consumption, or tuberculosis. All three are named in that verse as being under the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13 says, I've been redeemed from the curse of inflammation, the curse of tuberculosis, and the curse of fever. I've been redeemed from it in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you that I believe your word. I want to thank you that that belongs to me because Jesus is mine and I belong to him. And so I believe I receive my healing from inflammation. Any inflammation in my body, any kind of disease that's fired up inflammation in my body, I believe I receive healing for inflammation. I believe I receive healing for fever. I believe I receive healing for consumption or tuberculosis or any other kind of lung disease. I believe I receive it, and I thank you for it. I believe I receive it. I thank you for it. Now, let's take that situation there with inflammation. I believe I receive my healing from inflammation in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it, and I forgive if I have aught against any. And I thank you by faith, I say it, the inflammation is gone, and I praise you. Yeah, but Brother Copeland, I still feel it. Well, see, what we're doing will change, and it'll change it. And as it changes, the feelings change because the spiritual,
the spiritual power of faith in your spirit is being ministered from your spirit into your body and is removing inflammation. I believe I receive it. Now, you, as you begin this, remember, you have the measure of faith. I just don't have any faith. Yes, you do. You read Romans 12, 3 again. And you go back and read Ephesians 2, 8. And you go back and read Romans 10, 17. Praise God, you have it. You either that or you're not saved. Oh, Brother Copeland, I know I'm born again. I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. Well, you've got faith. You couldn't have got there without it. It is the gift of God, praise God, not of yourself. So, you begin, if that's where you are right now, then that's where you need to start. I believe faith is working in me now. I believe I receive my faith growing. See, you're using faith to grow faith. I receive it. I'm strong in faith. Glory to God. I believe I receive strength in my faith. I believe it. I receive it. I am strong, therefore, in faith. See, now that's your faith speaking. You have that measure of faith. Now, 2 Thessalonians 1:3, the Apostle Paul said to the church there at Thessalonica, he said, your faith grows exceedingly. So now, how does faith grow? It grows by feeding it on the Word of God. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So the Word of God is to your spirit man, your inner man, what physical food is to this natural man. Now, I want to say this. You know, you can just feed this natural man on junk all the time. And you can't keep the thing well. I mean, it just starts showing up, bad food and the wrong stuff. You can get a hold of stuff that'd kill you, man. Well, the same thing's true with your spirit, man. The Word of God is life unto them that find Him. The Word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, not religion, the Word of God. The Word of faith, the Word of love, the Word of joy. Glory to God. Amen. So, start feeding on it every day, day in, day out, every day feeding your faith, every day feeding on healing, feeding on the prosperity promises of financial situations you're facing. Faith works the same. You believe it in your heart, you say it with your mouth. I want to thank you. Praise God. I believe I receive my financial miracle today. Well, how much, you know, how much you believing for? Well, you know, all I can get. Well, that ain't any good. You need to take the time and get before the Lord. Find out what His desire is in your life, where you need to be going financially. You need to be increasing financially. Don't just sit around and just take what you can get. No. Now, you're feeding your faith on the Word. Go back and get these broadcasts. Feed on them. Watch them over and over and over and over again. And then give it a rest for a couple of days and then go back and do it again. Go back and do it again. Look up all these scriptures, praise God, and begin to confess, I'm a new creature. I have the measure of faith that God has given me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm a new creature and I'm strong in the Lord. See, you're feeding your faith. You keep feeding your faith. You keep saying it with your mouth because you believe it in your heart. Don't get sidetracked by your feelings and start saying something else. Just before I was getting dressed this morning and Gloria walked in and said, you teaching on faith again today? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, don't say anything that you don't want to come to pass. I said, yeah, that's good. She said, that's just coming across my spirit and across my mind. Don't say anything that you don't want to come to pass because you have what you say. That's the way the system is built. That's the way it works. So, well, it just doesn't work for me. Oh, so that's what you want to come to pass? Mm-hmm. Well, if you say so. No, Brother Copeland. No, that's not what it... Well, don't say that. Put the Word of God in your heart, in your mouth, in your eyes, in your ears, and keep putting it in there, keep putting it in there, keep putting it in there, and keep putting it in there until it begins to come out your mouth with you having to think about it. I'm going to say it again. Keep feeding on the Word. Keep putting it in there. Keep putting it in your eyes, putting it in your ears. Go to Proverbs 4, 20, 21, 22, and it'll tell you exactly the process for receiving. Incline thine ear and attend to my Word. Put the Word of God first place. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. What it says is right and not what you thought or felt. Don't let them depart from your eyes. You keep feeding it, putting your eyes on. Begin to see yourself healed. Begin to see yourself with it. Begin to see yourself prospering. Begin to see yourself strong in faith. Amen. That's the way you do it. I'm telling you, this lemonade that I've got here, this is good for me. I believe in that. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's good right there. That's good for you. That's good. I believe in that. Now, see, that could be something that the doctor told you, and you said it right there by your bedside. I got it. It ain't going to do any good. You got to get it in you. Well, that's the same thing with the Word of God, and it says, protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the forces of the issues of life. There are health to all that find them and medicine to all their flesh. God's words are health. God's words are literally medicine to your flesh. But like the prescription, you have to get it in the system for it to do any good. So that's where you feed it. You feed on it all the time. You don't take two or three days off and just feed on a bunch of junk, just pure bunk. It'll do the same thing that bad food does to your physical body. Amen. So, now then, let's go back over to 1 John. Well, we're not done with that. Thank you, Father. Stay in a place of receiving. Stay on the God side of everything. God's on your side. He's not doing any. Now, the devil will come along and tell you he doesn't care anything about you, but he's a liar from the start. Amen. So stay on the God side of everything. Don't start talking crosswise about your faith. Well, my faith is so weak. Well, No. Don't be doing that. You don't be saying things that you don't desire to come to pass. Say those things that you desire to take place and continue to say them. Feed on the Word and continue to say it. Feed on the Word and continue to say it. Praise God. Just continue to say it. Amen. Continue to say it. Continue to say it. Feed on healing scriptures. It'll keep you well. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Now, 1 John chapter 4. And let's begin reading again with the 16th verse. We have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. Now, that word perfect, it talking about developing, talking about maturing, talking about being in constant state of growth and exercising it. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Well, of course not. God is love. Isn't that what that said? God is love. But perfected love, developing, growing, practicing love, casts out fear. As you begin to speak love words, as you begin to renew your mind on the love of God, as you begin to grow in the Spirit, that as these things, your spirit begins to fill up with these things, then the fear that was in there, that's carnal stuff. It operates in the same envelope, the same spiritual envelope as faith. It is a spiritual force, but it is 100% weak. I'll tell you what, it is so easy to get rid of fear when you fill up on the Word of God, you fill up on the love of God, you begin to confess it, I refuse to fear, glory to God, I rebuke you, spirit of fear, I am not connected with you, and I love my neighbor as myself, I love my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength, I love the brethren even as He loves the brethren, and glory to God, I walk in His stature, and I do those things that are pleasing in His sight, and He fulfills the length of my days and takes sickness from the midst of me. I mean, it just and fear just collapses in the middle of all that. Amen. Now, there is no fear in love. Perfected love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that fears is not made perfect. He's not been developing the love of God, because if you're majoring on love, then when fear presents itself, love just rises up and just hammers it. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. All of these things are done by faith, but faith worketh by love. So you're using your faith to develop your love, and you're using the love that's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost in developing your faith. Hallelujah. So one is working and developing the other. But you gotta watch this thing. It's all what you believe in your heart and say with your mouth is what's coming to pass. Amen. I mean, that's the way the system works. Last week we went through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. We went through 17 scriptures on the power of words. In the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus said, praise God. You are justified. You'll stand judgment for every idle word. You are justified by your words, and you are condemned by your words. Look at that. All judgment happens right here. Amen. And well, we don't take time to go through all that again, but like Job 3:10 said, let the weak say, I'm weak, I'm so tired, I don't know what I'm going to do. No, no, no. It said, let the weak say, I'm strong. This is a word created. Now, listen to me. We're going to get something right here. You've heard me say this part before. This is a word created, word dominated, word controlled environment in which we live. Now, you can't change that. You can't change the fact that we live in a word created, a word controlled, a word dominated environment. You can't change that, but you can choose the words under which you are ruled. You can't change the fact that it's words, but you have the authority to change the words that dominate and rule your life. Amen. Now, let me add this to it. In the beginning, God said, light be, light was. That's the way He brought everything into existence. Back up. In the beginning, love said. So let me put it like this. We live in a love word created, a love word controlled, a love word dominated environment. He upholds all things by the word of His power. Yeah, but wait a minute. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Wait a minute. Back up. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with love, and the Word was love. Glory to God. The Word of love brought it all into existence. It is the Word of love that's upholding it all today. So if you'll get the Word of God and the love of God developed inside your inner man and renew your mind to think like that and to talk like that and act like that, I want you to know there's nothing on this earth that can defeat you because love never fails. It may look like it's all going to fail and go down the tube, but glory to God, if I go down the drain, I want you to know something that's going down under me. This Word of God and the love of God, who is love, who is God, is going to have to go down that same drain because I'm standing on Him. I'm standing with Him. I'm standing with... hallelujah. Whoo! Glory to God. Father, thank You today. We praise You and we worship You and we welcome You, sir, on this broadcast to manifest Yourself any and every way You choose, because this is Your house, and we thank You for being here in it with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go once again to 1 John chapter 4, please. Oh, hey, download the study notes, okay? KCM.org/notes. That really does help. You can use them to teach your Sunday school class with. You can preach off of them. I mean, you know, say, I got these off of Brother Copeland's broadcast, and then from, you know, say, you know, I've just come up with this a few days ago. just go for it. Hey, you don't have to even say anything about it the first time you teach off of it. Glory to God. 1 John 4:16. We have known and believed or have faith in the love that God hath to us. God is love. Now, did you get that? If God is love, then faith in God must be faith in love. To develop love, trust. You remember the scripture that said, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding? Then you could go say this, trust in the love of God and lean not to your own understanding. Trust that love with all your heart. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care what you feel like. Trust in the fact that God loves Kenneth. God loves me. God went to hell for me. Love did it for me. Love went to hell for me. Oh, my goodness. Oh. You understand? I mean, just dwell in it. Just live in it. But believe the love. Now, let me say it that way. Have faith in love. Love never fails. Isn't that what 1 Corinthians 13:8 says? Yeah. Love never fails. Why? It's God. Amen. All right. Now then, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. If God is in you, and he is, if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, say it, I am God inside-minded. Oh, yeah, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I have the measure of faith dealt unto me by God. I have the measure of faith dealt unto me by love. Hallelujah. See what we're doing? We're renewing the mind to think God is love, is God, is love, is God, is love. Amen. Now, thank you, Lord. Faith in God is faith in love. But where people have dropped their faith in God is when they do not have an awareness that He is love and He loves you more than He loved Himself because He gave Himself to get to you. It was love that went to hell for you and me. My, my, my. So now, we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in... Let me read it the other way around. He that dwelleth in God dwelleth in love. And God, who is love, dwells in him. And love never fails. Glory to God. The more you begin to feed and the more you begin to believe it and the more you begin to say it, God loves me. I love my God and my God loves me. He gave Himself for me. His love and knowing Him is growing on the inside of me. I mean, it's getting stronger and stronger. I'm in Him and He's in me. He's in me and I'm in Him. Everywhere I go, love is right there with me. Everybody that I meet, everybody to whom I speak, the love is inside me. And if I'll give Him a chance, love will do the talking. If I give Him a chance, love will do the thinking. And I respond in love instead of striking out. Oh, but Brother Copeland, are we back to that turn the other cheek thing again? Oh, yes, we are. Yeah, we are. But having no understanding of that, you think I'm just out there for somebody to run over me. No, no, no. Far from it. Tell you what let's do. Let's go over to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. And we'll begin reading with the 14th verse. The sower, now this is Jesus, the sower soweth the word. These are they by the wayside where the word, so what is the subject here? The word of God, who is love. The sower sows the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately to take away the word that was sown in their hearts. The thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. What is he out to steal? Your money? No, he's out to steal the word. If he can steal the word, he's got your money. If he can steal the word, he's got your children. If he can steal the word, he's got you and everything around you if he can get the word out of you. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it is by faith so that it might be by grace. I'm telling you, faith worketh by love. You see where all the power elements are all hooked together. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, and all of the healing power of God. Jesus proved that the power to forgive and the power to heal was exactly the same power. All of these things, that's the power part of all of this. If Satan can steal the word, he can destroy and kill. Jesus said, the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, he's very specific in the order in which he put them. He put the stealing first. I caught myself saying, he comes but to kill, to steal, and destroy. That's not the way Jesus said it. He comes to steal. What? He comes to steal the word that was sown in your heart. Kill and destroy. If he can steal the word, he can steal your health. He can steal your strength. He can steal your faith. If he steals your faith, he's nullified and just brought the power and authority of the name of Jesus down to zero. Because it's faith in that name that gets results. Whoa. All right. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. When they have heard, Satan cometh immediately to take away the word that was sown in their hearts. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. So the word did what it is supposed to. It went in the heart and they got glad. And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake. Now, why did persecution and affliction arise? In order for you to teach you something? No. The persecution and affliction didn't arise to teach you something. It arose to kill you. It was designed to steal the Word of God out of you and kill and destroy. Amen. Notice it. For the Word's sake, persecution and affliction are tools of the devil to get your attention off of the sower and the word he has sown into you and get it over on the persecution and the affliction and the ugly things that people are saying about you and doing to you. Immediately, they are offended. Oh, isn't that amazing that offense is the top of the list here? Becoming offended. Becoming offended. What happens when you become offended? Well, if you don't forgive, what is that 25th verse? Mark 11, we've been over it and over it. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. And you're not forgiving, your faith won't work in an unforgiving heart. All right, let's go ahead. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and deceitfulness of riches, and the lust or pressures of other things, entering in, choke the word. If you won't let it in there, it can't choke the word. But now notice something vitally important about this verse. Entering in, choke you? No. Chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. It's the word that provides the increase. It is the word that brings the faith, that brings the increase. Praise God. Amen. All right, now, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, I want you to notice something here. The word was designed to bring about a 100-fold increase. 100-fold. Say it. 100-fold. Some 30, some 60, and 100. The love of God wants you He wants you to successfully increase to 100-fold. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God wants you to have 100-fold. That's what I'm trying to get over to you. Why? He's love. Now, let me show you something else here. This is from the 10th chapter of Mark. Oh, this portion of Scripture right here is so grossly misunderstood. I misunderstood it. A lot of people misunderstand it. I want you to go with me here to the 17th verse of the 10th chapter of Mark.
And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that's God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. I want you to notice the 21st verse. This is the key to this entire passage of Scripture here. Then Jesus, beholding him, he looked at him, beholding him, loved him, and said to him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever you have, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. Well, now, yes, Brother Copeland, you see, Jesus didn't want the man to have anything in this life. You know, boy, sometimes words just fail me other than just bull. Man. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved because he had great possessions. Jesus looked around about and saith to his disciples, How heartily shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his word. Well, now, I'm surprised that they didn't say, Boy, I'm telling him, Lord, I'm telling you right now, he needs to be poor like the rest of us, We had to give it all. We left it all. We left it all. Why can't he leave it all and come follow us? That's the idea that people that are, like Brother Hagin used to say, are religiously brainwashed instead of New Testament taught. This is love. He looked at him and loved him. Love doesn't want you to be destitute. Now notice this. They were astonished. Jesus said, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches, trust in riches instead of trusting God who is love. That trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man who trusts in riches instead of God, a rich man who doesn't know that God loves him, a rich man that refuses to follow God and doesn't trust his love. Are you with me? I know you are. Now notice, to enter into the kingdom of God, and they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? Sure don't sound like a bunch of poor folks to me, does it you? Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. With who? Love. Glory to God. Peter began to say, Sir, look, we've left all and followed thee. Jesus answered and said, Now, you remember what I told you? Love always wants you to increase. Love doesn't want to take anything from you. Love's always trying to get more to you. Jesus said, I have come that they have life and have it more abundantly. Have it how much? More abundantly. That's love's idea of everything. Increase. The better it is, the more it ought to increase. I say unto you, There is no man that hath left house, brethren, sister, father, mother, wife, children, or lands, for my sake in the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. And he's warning you, he said, I'm telling you, Satan's going to try to steal it.
But and he'll put up. See, he's already taught him. He already taught him about that persecution and what it comes for and how come it came and how to stop it. Amen. So he's just warning you. You know, I mean, you're going to get more and more and more. You're going to increase. Love wants you to have 100-fold of everything. Glory to God. Amen. He doesn't want you losing anything because you serve Him. He doesn't want you losing anything because you became a believer. He wants you to increase. Love wants you well. Love wants you strong. Love wants you rich. Love wants you in power. Love wants you walking in faith. You lay hands on the sick and they recover. He wants you speaking to sickness and disease and release Him. He is love. Release Him in that situation and watch Him just wipe it out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Mm. Now then, how much time I got, Tim? I think I can just get this introduced and we'll take it up here tomorrow. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 3. Now, you remember there it said, and have no root in themselves. You remember when we read that? Hang on a minute. I'm talking and turning in the wrong direction. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, when he said over there in the fourth chapter, let's look back at it again. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. When they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word is sown in their hearts. These are they on stony ground. When they have heard the word, immediately receiveth the gladness, have no root in themselves. Say it. Have no root in themselves. Now, Ephesians chapter 3, and let's begin reading with the 14th verse. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of whom? Of the Father, the whole family. Now, wait a minute. Stop. Back up. Beep. Whoop. Okay. Who? Well, the Father. No, love. See, God is love. The Father is love. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We've been named after our Father. The name which is above every name is named is ours. Love wanted us to have it. Glory. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in your inner man. Boy, this real you new creature you. You got the measure of faith on the inside of you. You've got the love of God on the inside of you. You've got it in there, my brother and sister. I'm telling you, get in the Word of God and begin to renew your mind, who you are in love Himself and who He is in you. And it begins to come out of you and affect your whole environment. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted... That you being rooted and grounded in love may what, Brother Copeland? May comprehend with all the saints, may have working knowledge and understanding the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of the Anointed One, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Praise God. Welcome to the broadcast today. I'll tell you what, there's a couple of days there that didn't do anything like I thought it was going to do. And the Lord just, I rejoice when He does that because I always learn more out of it than anybody. Now, yesterday, and in fact, let's go over to the fourth chapter of Mark once again. And we were talking about having faith in love. God is love. Love is God. And we have known and believed the love, 1 John 4:16. But most people haven't believed the love. They've known the love because you couldn't get born again without that. But not actually having any trust and faith in His love. and you run, just hit the wall spiritually in some other way, and immediately blame it on God, and you know, just start, well, I don't know, you know, you don't care at all. No. Trust the love. He didn't do it. The devil's the one that's trying to give God the blame for it. If he can get you to blame God for it, then your faith will just keep crumbling and crumbling. He'll steal everything you have, including your life and health and children and everything else. Now, believe the love. Amen. My mother and my dad, A.W. and Vanetta Copeland, I want you to know those two people love me, and they would have never done anything to cause me heartache, damage, or in any way inflict some kind of pain on me. Are you kidding me? That somebody walk up to me and say that A.W. Copeland put cancer on me, I'm pretty sanctified, but I'll tell you, you better duck when you say it, because you don't talk about him like that to me. That man loved me. Amen. And there were some times, there was some tough love between he and I, too. But thank God for it. He corrected me and straightened me out. I never in my life, all the years in his household, I never learned a wicked thing from him. I never learned anything wicked from Jesus. No. Trust the love. Love went to hell for you. Love paid the price for you. Amen. Now, let's go back over here to Mark chapter 4 and look here from the 14th verse. Jesus is teaching on the sower soweth the word. But now, before we even get out of the box here, the sower, who is the sower? Well, it's God. No, it's love. Now, see, we're talking about renewing your mind. If you hear God, you hear love. You hear love, you hear God. Amen. The sower soweth the word. Our love sows the word. The word of love always wants you to increase, always wants you to improve, always wants you to get well, always wants you stronger, always wants you better off in life. That's love. That's the way love thinks. That's the way love is, and God is love. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they heard, Satan cometh immediately. Well, now, wait a minute. Here's just the opposite from love. Here's the thief, and he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. He's out to steal that word. He's not out to steal your money. He's not out to steal your family. Huh? No, he's out to steal the word. If he can steal the word, he's got your money, he's got your family, he can do anything he wants to you if he can steal the word out of you, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And when you don't have any faith working, he'll walk over you. I'm telling you, he'll walk over you and claim God did it. Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves. Make a note of that now. Have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. What is offense? Offense is getting out of love. When you step out of the love commandment, you've just stepped over in Satan's territory, and he'll hit you with the curse. He'll hit you with both barrels. Why? You stepped out there on his territory. He lured you out there by reminding you what they all been saying about you and how ugly they talked about you and the nasty letter they wrote you. You should have thrown the letter in the trash and sit down and written a nice letter back and just tell them how much you love them. I know that's what you did, yeah. Now, have no root in themselves. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, not riches, the deceitfulness of riches, being deceived by money and so forth, thinking, I tell you what, if God would just let me have some money, I should fix all of this. No. That's the deceitfulness of riches. And the lust or pressures of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. It's the word that will bring the fruit. It's the word that brings results. But you don't have to let this stuff in. Next verse. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And then, if we had time, we'd go on and study all the rest of that chapter, which is all about the word bringing 100-fold. The word of love wants you to have 100-fold increase of everything good. Now, let's go to the 10th chapter, and we'll catch up there. No, I'll tell you what, let's go right straight to the book of Ephesians. Thank you, Lord, for correcting me. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, immediately, right there, you should have thought about the love of God. When you read the sower sows the word, the sower is the love of God. The word is the word of love. And love always wants you to produce 100-fold increase. Love never wants you offended. Love never wants all of the cares of this world entering in and badgering you. No. Now notice this. I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is love, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You're named after God, who is love. Hallelujah. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might. Glory to God. By His Spirit in your inner man, that Christ, the Anointed One, may dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted, they had no root in themselves and fell for that offense, rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded in God, rooted and grounded in Jesus, rooted and grounded, praise God, in the love of God. Hallelujah. Man, preach me happy. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. This everybody that's born again, if you get rooted and grounded in love, you will be able to comprehend. You'll be able to understand. This is more than just surface understanding. This is working knowledge of God. This is working knowledge of who He is and what He is. May be able to understand what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of what? The love of Christ. Wait a minute, God is love. You're telling me that we can understand and comprehend the breadth, length, depth, and the height of God? Well, yeah, if God's the teacher, hallelujah. How would you like to have nobody think they can understand you? Well, you just never can understand that stupid Kenneth. I just can't understand him. As if I didn't want you to. People act like God don't want them to understand Him. He wants you to understand Him. He loves you. And you're created in His likeness. If you understand Him, then you figure out who and what you are. Hallelujah. Praise God.
you may be able to comprehend or have working knowledge with all the saints. What is the breadth? What is the length? What is the depth? What is the height? And to know. Didn't we read over there in 1 John, we've known and believed the love? Glory to God. Look at it now. And to know, have intimate, inside, close relationship with the love of the Anointed One and His anointing. To know and understand that anointing, the love that caused Him to go to the cross, the love that caused Him to go to hell, the love that caused Him to send His Spirit to indwell you and me and anoint us and to bring the same measure of faith in us, to bring the same anointing in and on us that was in and on Him, so that just like Jesus, we could say our words are not our own. It is the Father that dwells within us. He does the work. That's the reason Jesus could come along and say, He that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Well, He went to His Father. He went to His Father who is love. And He sent the Spirit of God, who's the Spirit of love, to indwell us and to come on us and to anoint us, everyone, and give us understanding of that anointing, give us understanding of the gifts of the Spirit, to give us working knowledge of faith and to walk in it 24 hours a day. To give us understanding of heaven's economics so that we can believe God and whoa, glory to God, that you might be filled. Look at it. That you might be filled, say full, with all the fullness of God, who is love. See what He's desiring? He's desiring you and me to get a working knowledge of love, because God is love. And love is the way God is. Love is the way God thinks. Love is the way God does. Love is the way God has. Love is the way God gives. Love is the way God heals. Love is the way God saves. God is love. And the more rooted and grounded we are in love, the more we believe it, the more we study it, and the more we confess how much He loves us and how much we love Him. And you get up in the morning and you begin to worship Him and you say, I love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. I love my neighbor as myself. And God says, good, you just satisfied the whole Mosaic law. Glory to God. And then I say, and I love the brethren even as Jesus loved the brethren. And God says, good, now you just satisfied the law of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whoa, this is good, isn't it? Hallelujah. Now, unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we even ask or think. But wait a minute. According to the power that works within us. Now, I just quoted it a while ago. Yes, sir. 14th chapter of John. Jesus said, He that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. That's where the greater works are. He is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond what we ask or think. That's out there, my brother and sister. Whoa, glory. It comes from walking in love. It comes from concentrating on that love. It comes from growing up in it. Now, listen to this. It started out by saying that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, number one. Number two, rooted and grounded in love. Number three, comprehend or have divine understanding. See, you may be someone that understands and even knows the process where you could, you know, you get online, you buy your tickets, you go to the airport, and they search you for about an hour. And I just had to kind of throw that in there. But you understand what it takes to go get on an airplane and go somewhere. But just because of training, I'm no sharper than you are. But just because of training, I learned how to fly an airplane. So I know how to fly the same airplane that you go from point A to point B. I can fly that same airplane. Now, I haven't been checked out in that exact airplane, but my level of experience, all it takes is a few weeks of training, and I can fly that airplane. You understand? That's comprehension. And that's the level of comprehension that he's talking to you about. Okay, number one was faith. Number two, rooted and grounded in love. Number three, comprehension. Number four, filled with all the fullness of God. Now then, translate that. Filled with the fullness of love. What is the fullness of love? Being moved by compassion, and He healed their sick. Being moved by compassion, He saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and He taught them many things. Oh, glory be to God, fullness of love. Being moved by it. See, compassion is not a feeling. Compassion is God. It's a person. And that person is living on the inside of you. And as you take these steps in this order, and as you obey the Word of God in these things, then compassion begins. When you're filled with the fullness of God, that means compassion is right up here all the time. Anger's not right up here. Love is. No, it's right up here, and it's just ready. It's just ready to talk. It's ready to lay on hands. It's ready to go to any length to get somebody saved. It's ready to go to any length to just help somebody. Glory to God. Just looking all the time for a way to help, for a way to bring a sudden blessing on somebody. Hallelujah. That compassion. That compassion causes healing anointings to develop in your hands and in your words, praise God. Exceeding abundant power at work. Exceeding abundantly beyond what you can ask or think. But now, as you're growing in this, as you continue to walk in it, as you're continuing to develop in it, the fear is just getting further and further away. It's getting to where you don't even stop thinking about it. You'd lay hands on somebody and anywhere, anytime that the anointing comes on you to do it. And you just continue to walk in this, exceeding abundantly beyond what we can ask or think. But let me tell you something. Once you have experienced an exceeding abundantly above what I can ask or think, now I can ask or think that, so the next thing's going to have to be bigger than that. And then the next thing's going to have to be bigger than that. Can you see the progress? You're growing, coming up and coming up and coming up. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, you get a church full of folks like that, you can't keep people out of it. Amen. God, what did it say? Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. That's what brings glory to God, who is one. I'll be back in just a moment.
You have a free resource to help you study and apply the Bible-based truths you just heard. Download the BVOV Broadcast Study Notes today at kcm.org/notes. Collect the notes from each week and use them in a group Bible study. Use the message outline to teach from. Discuss the scriptures and key points with your family of believers. Gain understanding from all the teachings on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Get the whole week of notes today at kcm.org/notes.
Limitless, boundless, endless, inexhaustible. God is love. Like a flood moving great boulders or a river carving a great canyon, so does God's love toward us remove apathy, fear, failure, and doubt. In their 365-day devotional, Limitless Love, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland invite you to become equipped with the Word of God. God's love is in every verse of the Bible and will teach you how to handle every situation. Ground yourself in the love that knows no bounds and fuel your faith every day. God so desires to get His blessing into your life. The more you discover the breadth and length and depth and the height of His love, the greater your capacity to receive all He has for you. The obstacles that block your purposes are removed. The gifts stopped up inside you are released, and you will see His great plans for your life fulfilled. His love always makes a way.
Unlock the unlimited power of God in your life. Request your free Limitless Love devotional by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and supercharge your faith with God's love every day. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395 for the Limitless Love devotional free from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Now, if you've never accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life, don't wait one more second. Not one more nanny second. Just right now, just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Take my life and do something with it. I repent of sin. I renounce the devil and everything he stands for. I receive you, Jesus. I believe with all my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead, Father. Thank you. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me now with your precious Holy Spirit to overflowing. And I receive my heavenly prayer language. I'll speak with other tongues because you love me. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to tell you something. You could have committed the most heinous crime that has ever been committed in the history of human beings. But I want you to know something. The blood of Jesus already took care of that for you. All you needed to do was accept it. Amen. It's not based on your performance. It's based on His performance. And the Bible says, you like me. I found the scripture that said Christ died for the ungodly. And I said, oh, Lord, I qualified, didn't I? Amen. Then I found the scripture that goes along with it. Says His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. It still thrills me. This just thrills me to my core every time I think about it. Glory to God. Say it out loud. I'm a new creature. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus right now. Glory to God. Amen. And I have the measure of faith. And I have the love of God on the inside of me. He's in here. I have Him. And He did it because He loved me. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful? Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, here's what I want you to do. This little book, He Did It All For You, I want to send it to you free and postpaid, and I'll include these two little brochures on the inside of it here, just little quick references and how to read your New Testament and how to study the Bible. And then what happened to you today is in this little book. And you don't have to struggle with reading and studying your Bible.
So go to kcm.org and say, hey, I accepted Jesus today and I need that new book on He Did It All For You. Amen. And we'll get it right out to you postpaid. I'm so glad. Besides that, we want to know you. Amen. You're part of the family now and we're rejoicing with you. God bless you. Oh, I wish I could just reach out there and hug your neck. Maybe someday we'll get to do that. Praise God.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. April 4th through 6th, Kenneth Copeland welcomes you to the 2019 Branson Victory Campaign in Branson, Missouri, USA. May 25th through June 4th, join Pastors George and Terry Pearsons for Kenneth Copeland Ministries' first ever Israel tour. June 6th through 8th, join Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle at the Sacramento Victory Campaign at the Calvary Christian Center in Sacramento, California, USA. For more information, go to kcm.org/events.
Friday is always offering day, as most of you know, on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Now, what you have heard today and yesterday, last week and this week, but particularly the last couple of days, on being rooted and grounded in love. You've heard the message that God has called forth in this ministry. And we'll be preaching this, and the Lord said, I want you to preach faith, but I want you to preach on having faith in the love of God. Hallelujah. And so what you heard today especially is what you're going to be hearing a lot of until the Lord gives us a different direction. And the reason I'm saying that to you is because I want you to know what you're going to be sowing your offerings into, because this is what we're doing. This is where we're going with this in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray over this offering today. And in Jesus' name, I'm asking you to reveal to the people what their part of sowing into this is. And we receive it to preach the love of God from the top of this world to the bottom and all the way around the middle until this earth is saturated with the love of God. And we thank you for it and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you missed any of these broadcasts, and I strongly suggest you do, even if you didn't miss them, go back to kcm.org, go to the Roku channel. I mean, get in there and go back over these over and over and over and over. Amen. Make it a priority to go to church this weekend. Get in there and praise and worship the Lord. Praise God. Go share these things with other people. You've downloaded the outlines and so forth, go share those out. Copy them and give them to people. Show it to them. Amen. Particularly messages about God is love. I am so glad you were with us this week. We'll see you again. It won't be next week, but hey, I'll see you again anyway. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland reminding you again that God loves you and we love you. And Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries has an exciting way for you to give and become a part of what God is doing. Text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. If you prefer, you can also go to kcm.org/give or call 800-600-7395. This is the time for miracles. Text to give is available in the U.S. only.